to see you all today, and I got back safely. I'm actually going to show some pictures next week of my trip, because we've got the AGM coming up, and Ricky has to fly to Holland, and so if I went on too long, I might have not just an angry church, I might have an angry wife. So just to sort of, I forgot to pick up this. Let's just recap very, very briefly where we've got to. I'm not sure whether we're getting any signal through. So, a few weeks ago, John spoke about how they were devoted to Christ and to his word. Then after that, I spoke about how they were devoted to the fellowship, they were devoted to one another. We looked a couple of weeks ago at how they were devoted to teamwork, and they worked together as a team. And then last week, Nick spoke about how they were devoted to prayer. And today we're looking at how they were devoted to blessing others. And we read today, they said all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And they were enjoying the favor of all the people. And I think as I read that, I think to myself, they were definitely devoted to blessing others within the church community. But that last line where it says they enjoyed the favor of all the people, the wider community, I think we can deduce that they were also blessing others in the wider community. It wasn't just blessing people within the church, but they were looking for ways to bless the community around them. I've been reading this book, I haven't finished it yet. It's a very readable book, a best-selling book called Atomic Habits. But a line from the book that I love is, identity leads to habits, and habits lead to identity. So identity leads to habits, and habits lead to identity. And I think it rings true, because if you remember way back last September, we looked at Abraham. And Abraham was blessed by God to be a blessing. He was given a new identity by God, an identity of blessing for the world. And I think as Christians, we talked about it in that message, we have been blessed through the gospel in order that we might be a blessing to the world around us. And Peter says it this way, this is the identity piece and then the challenge to be a blessing. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, all these pieces of identity, in order that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And then he goes on to say, live such good lives among the pagans, among the people in your community, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. And so Peter describes this great identity. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, in order that you might declare God's praises and you might show the people around us the good works that God has caused you to do through your faith. And he goes on, I believe in Peter, to show us different ways that we're to have habits of blessing. He talks about being a blessing to our neighbors, being a blessing to our society and our civic leaders. He talks about being a blessing in our church family. He talks about being a blessing in our workplace. He talks about wives being a blessing to their unbelieving husbands. He talks about husbands being a blessing to their wives. He even talks about conflict, when that's the least time that we want to bless. And he says that Christianity takes us this far, our faith takes us this far, that when we have a conflict, instead of insulting people, we can actually bless them and solve our conflicts. He even talks about when we go through hard times, we can experience and share God's blessings. And then he says when we're sharing our faith, we have to share in a way that's a blessing. We don't sort of come on heavy, but we're to share our faith with gracious words. I think for me, one of the key verses for my life, but I think it's probably a key verse in the Old Testament is Jeremiah 29 and verses 5 to 7. And if you remember, in this passage, the exiles, they've gone over to Babylon. Some false prophets have come and said, hey, you know, God's going to take us back to Jerusalem in a few weeks. And Jeremiah gets this word and he says, he's told by God, go and send this letter to the people and say, you're not going back in a few weeks. You're going back in 70 years. And this is how I want you to live. And as Christians, in a way, we're away from our heavenly home. And so can be described as an exiled people. We've not been exiled in punishment. We live away from our home. And we're going to be one day back in our heavenly home. But this is how Jeremiah says, or God says through Jeremiah, how we are to live. He says, you are to build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, he says. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. And this word, pray, seek the peace and pray to the Lord for its peace. This is the word shalom in the Old Testament. And I just looked up some different definitions of shalom, and this is one that I liked. It says the ancient Hebrew concept of peace, rooted in the word shalom, means wholeness, completeness, soundness, health, safety, and prosperity, carrying it with the implication of permanence. And so shalom is not just, hey, you know, peace, brother. It's actually a much deeper word, wishing and seeking another person's wholeness. And then also said, peace can be temporary, shalom is permanent. Peace can be partial or piecemeal, shalom is whole and complete. And I think a good way of describing shalom is it's human, it's people and community flourishing. That's what it means by seeking the peace, praying for the peace. You're seeking the flourishing of the people and the community in that place. And so we are called to seek the flourishing of the community around us. And so we are living as an exile people. There's a little picture you can't see very well of Datchet. That's where our little church is located. And I think God says through his words, we need to put down roots in our community. We're to settle here if we live here, or wherever we're settled, be it in another town, be it Langley or Windsor or somewhere else. We're to put down roots and be part of our local community. We're to seek the peace and prosperity of the local community. We're to seek its wholeness, its flourishing. And we are to pray for the local community. That's one of our calls, is to pray. And that's one of the reasons why every Sunday we pray here. We often pray for our local community. A few years ago, I listened to a talk. It was a sort of, I think it was it was more like a talk given at a sort of special annual address by a very interesting Catholic priest called Ronald Rollheiser. And he's written a lot of books around blessing. And I actually got a lot out of it. And so he talks in this talk about blessing is to speak well of someone over someone. Blessing literally means to speak well. It comes from the Latin, to speak well. And he talked in the talk about how Jesus' life and ministry was done under the blessing of the Father. The Father said at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, this is my Son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. That was a blessing at Jesus' ministry. He went into the desert, challenged, but he succeeded under the blessing of the Father. And then later, just before he goes to the cross, and we'll look at that next week. The title is slightly different. It's not the faith to move mountains. It's the faith to move a mountain, not a mountain. Just the faith to move mountain, because Jesus goes in the last few days of his life from the Mount of Transfiguration, where he hears the Father say, "This is my Son, listen to him." And he journeys from that mountain to the Mount of Crucifixion. And I think he has to, and we have to have a lot of faith to follow Jesus. He talks about Jesus having this blessed consciousness. He was under the blessing of the Father. But he also says most people in this world cannot think of a time when they were really blessed by another person. Many of us can't even think of a time when our Father really blessed us and said, "You know, I really believe in you," or "You're my Son and I love you." And he says many people live with a cursed consciousness. And he would say that a lot of adults live lives, he says, of quiet, chronic depression because they've not been blessed. They have this cursed consciousness. He's also quite practical in his talk. He talks about blessing. And these are the different ways, he says, that we can bless people. We are blessed when someone truly sees us, when someone notices us. He says there's a deep blessing in being seen. He says we're blessed by words and actions that speak well of us. When people say, "You know, I'm glad you're here. It's lovely to have you part of us." There's a blessing in that. And we're blessed, he says, when someone shares or gives their life in order that we might have life. He would say that in communities, the most powerful blessings come from top down, from someone higher in authority, down to someone in lower authority. And he says there's also a lot of power in blessings within gender. So older women blessing younger women, older men blessing younger men. And then he also describes in his talk that grandparents are usually the purest picture of blessing because they just take great delight in their children. And that's the ultimate blessing. "You are my grandchild, in you I take great delight." And that is the purest form of blessing. John Ortberg, in his book Soul Keeping, says there are two great words in the Bible that describe the posture of souls towards other people. One is to bless, and the other is to curse. In every encounter with people, we will what is good for them, or we will what is bad. Blessing is not just a word. Blessing is the projection of good into the life of another. And I just put it into sort of some S words. The first one is a seeing blessing. Ronald Rollheiser says there's deep blessing in being seen. And I was thinking about how that changed Zacchaeus' life. Zacchaeus climbs a tree and Jesus stops. And it says that Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to come and have dinner with you." In a way, Jesus was already blessing Zacchaeus' life and giving him dignity as a person. And it changed Zacchaeus' life. And Zacchaeus said, "Well, I've been this tax collector who's stolen from people. Well, I'm going to pay people back with a vast rate of interest." And so Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this house." And it began with a blessing. I thought about how God sees us. In Isaiah, God says to Israel, God says to believers, "I have called you by name. You are mine." God sees us individually. We're not just a general number. We're a person that God sees. And I would say a challenge would be, can we learn some names of our neighbors? And make, you know, if we're getting too old to remember the names like I am, I have to make a little list in my phone sometimes and sort of refresh it. But learn the names. And when you say someone's name, "Hi," the other day I met him. He says he knows Sue. He's called Chalky. I think he used to come here to this youth group about 50 years ago. But anyway, just remember their names. So when you see them again, you'll be like, "Hi, Chalky." There's power in remembering people's names. Sometimes we go too fast in our world, and so we need to slow down and pay attention and see things in others. Perhaps we need to put our phones down. There are things that distract us from seeing other people too. We're also called to speak blessing. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And so there's a great blessing as we speak blessing. And you can say, well, that's for Aaron, but I just read a few verses back where Peter says we're all royal priests. We're called to speak blessing over the places that we live. And so as we pray, that's a way that we speak a blessing over the place that we live. Jesus, he heard the voice of the Father saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. In Proverbs it says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Our words are very powerful. In Ephesians, Paul says, instead of being drunk, where you probably blabber on rubbish, he says, be filled with the Spirit and speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And so as we share Bible verses with each other, as we say words of encouragement, we are speaking blessing and life into those around us. And so words are a very, very powerful way that we bless others. Think about the power of words. God spoke and this whole universe existed. Jesus is the Word of God. Words are very powerful. And so we speak life into others. Or if we speak badly, we can curse someone for a very long time. We're also called to sow blessing. Paul says to the Galatians, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. And so he's saying we need to sow blessings. We need to do good. We need to do good to everyone as we have opportunity, and especially to those in the family of God. So there's this wider community where we're to bless. We're also to bless one another. And the Message version of Proverbs 11:25 says, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. And I didn't notice that in this passage in Galatians, but it definitely comes back. It says, whoever sows good will reap a harvest of blessing. The blessings that you sow will come back to you and bless you in different ways. And just as very practical examples, I've just been with Pastor Philip, and he has a big church planting ministry, and he started it through establishing a school in a Muslim community. And they have about 200 children coming, and that opened up doors. And as he blessed the community with the school, it opened up doors for the gospel. The person we stay with is Dr. Jeffrey Moses, and his wife Nicole did an internship in our church many years ago in Madrid. And he is a doctor, and he runs his medical clinics in very poor areas. And this is opening up doors of blessing. And so we got to go to a village, and there was the chief. In fact, he had been the chief of the whole region. He's called the paramount chief, but he retired, and now he was just a section chief. But he heard about Jeffrey's work, and he said, you know, you need to come to our village. But as a sort of forerunner, he told me and Jeffrey and another friend called Phil, he said, we are now making you official residents of this town. He said, this town is your town. You can come here whenever you want and stay with us. So I now have a town in Sierra Leone because the gospel blessings came back to me. I've just been helping to train pastors, and that's one of the ways the Global Training Network wants to bless the global church. They go to train leaders who have no access to training. So we're training very poor leaders. Many of them don't have access. And it's very strange. We're with pastors and we say, you know, pull out your Bibles. And they pull out their Bibles and we say, look to this passage. And many of them can't even find the passage. They've become Christians and they've come from Muslim backgrounds. They've got little training. So we're offering training. So the idea is if we train a leader, they will bless their church, and then in turn their church will bless the community. Thinking closer to home, we have something like the bridge. That's called to be a blessing to this town. That's where the churches get together and have formed a drop-in cafe to be a blessing to the town. And just to make it very practical and personal, we have an old friend, Susan Scholes. She's known me since I was a child in Africa. And during COVID, she was housebound. She's well into her 80s. And she said, God, how can you use me to be a blessing? And she decided that during COVID, she'd make a floral arrangement a week for a family in the church. And she'd write a note of blessing and encouragement. And so she did, I think, 45 or more of these little arrangements, and they got sent to different families to encourage them. And so here's somebody taking initiative to say, God has blessed me, and I can be a blessing. Just in closing, I think there's one more way. We share blessings as we share our faith. So we read that the early church shared with those in need, and that also began to open doors for the gospel. And Paul says, I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessings. And so as we share the good news, it's such good news, we share in its blessings as it blesses other people. And he says to the Ephesians, though I'm the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. And so we have tremendous treasure in the gospel. And so as we share the gospel, as we live it, and as we share it through our words, we are sharing the blessings of God with other people. So we are to see blessing. We are to be seeing blessings. So we bless as we see other people and notice them. We are to speak blessings over others as we encourage them, as we share God's word, as we say words that build others up. We are to sow blessings and do good in our community. And we are to share blessings as we share the gospel. And just one last way of looking at it. I got this from a talk that I once went to many years ago on how do you sort of live as a missional church. And they use this alliteration. It says, B is for begin with prayer. So we're to begin with prayer and to pray for others. We are to listen to others and really be listening to others and listening to what they want to share with us. Eating together, important way. Next week we have a fellowship lunch. We eat together. We serve others. And he says that we should share this story or your story. So we're to share the gospel story or to share with people our stories. Or ask people to share your story with me. I'm interested in that. So there's just different ways of looking about that blessing. But I think coming back to the early church, just the closing thing I'd like to say is God can bless them tremendously in the gospel, and they look for ways they could bless each other and bless the wider community. And then it says at the end, and the Lord added to their number daily those who have been saved. Let me close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much that we've been blessed. And if I was to talk about blessing in the Bible, it would be a very, very long sermon. Lord, thank you that you have blessed us so much in Christ. You've given us a new identity, an identity where we're called to bless others within our church family, to bless our community, to bless our world. And I pray that we will take on board this calling that we have to be a blessing. And so help us to be people who pray for others, who listen to others, who invite others for meals or go to eat with others and share food together and deepen community. Help us to be people who serve others in different ways. And help us be people who share your story or our story or say, tell me about the story that you have over your life. And so, Lord, just help us to really be a community that seeks to bless the world around us.